I just come to thee. Dear Lord, the time that brings us back to Him is that we have touched someone that wrecks us. And we come back because when we're with Him, there's no experience like that. And when we don't find Him, we feel so miserable. Misery is not finding Him. And we see this lover, which is really us, the Song of Songs. He comes to court us. And when He first courts us, we think we have control of ourselves. But His person captures us. And this love, it makes us do things we don't want to do. We never plan. Whoever plans to give up their future? Whoever plans to love someone else more than yourself? How can you love more than yourself? He's so attractive that eventually we can love Him more than ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I miss Him, to me it's a wasted day. It's hopeless. You know, this Song of Songs, this book has intrigued me, the love story. It's our story. Let Him kiss me. You got kissed this morning? With the kisses of His mouth. They must have kissed each other quite a lot. Later on, she tells her, she says, under your tongue, it's like honey. That's the Lord saying that. Milk and honey is under your tongue. This kiss, this intimacy, takes us on and on. And when she couldn't find Him, she's like a sick person. We all are sick. We all need to become sick with love. What about Him? He's a mighty God. What is His response to your love with Him? Just looking from the throne? One, He says, you're altogether beautiful, my love. He's telling you, young people, yes, we have a lot of problems, but He's saying, David, You're altogether beautiful. He wants a response from us. Then he says, you ravish my heart. You, we, would ravish God's heart? Has there been a group of Christians that have ravished God's heart? May there be? Can you imagine that the Lord Jesus' heart can be ravished? He's so in love. Which is worse, being sick or being ravished? He's more sick than we are. He's not interested in this or that. He wants somebody to love him. So morning revival is two sick persons coming together. God needs us more than we need him. And this, otherwise, you think he'd go to the cross? What he did that for? Just for fun? So I don't know how to share this. Because I see him as a... He's divinely human. We just like to keep him divine. But he's divinely human. He's just like us. And he says, turn your eyes. Don't look at me like that. Your eyes. When you look at me like that, overcomes me. And one of the best examples of this is Mary. Very interesting. The greatest event in the universe, resurrection. The resurrected Christ. We take resurrection as something apart from him. Who discovered resurrection? It's a sick woman. She's so sick, it looks like she's not clear. And her only cry is, where is he? Not, what about the coming kingdom? What about this? Where you laid him? Bawling at a graveyard, maybe 5 a.m. Her only cry is, where is he? Our morning revival is, where is he? We don't find him. I'm like the brothers. She comes running. No. The tomb's empty. The brothers run over. They look at the empty tomb. Oh, yeah. That's right. He told us he's going to be raised on the third day. Yes, that's resurrection. An empty hole. Many times, my time is just facts. but I miss that person. The Lord touched me one day. He says, you know the doctrines, but your being is so crusted up. I had to repent 2 weeks straight. Lord, take away this crust. I want to find you. All these years, I thought she's not clear about the resurrection. She's the clearest. Resurrection is a person. We don't have items in the Lord's recovery. We just have one wonderful person. You know, when we're young, we got caught by that verse in Psalm 24. Who will ascend to the what? Holy hill. Zion, right? Who wants to be overcomers? How many want to be an overcomer? Those with the clean hands and the pure heart. You know what he says after that? It's a generation that seeks his face. That's all. A whole generation just seeking his face. Not this. Not that. On her side, when she couldn't find him, and I have a little experience of that, sometimes we can't find him. She says, the Lord said to her, open to me. Can you imagine? He's telling this morning, Howard, open to me. Just open to me. Stop everything. Just open to me. You're too busy. Open. Just open to me. Please, won't you just stop everything and just open to me? Amen. Dear lover, open to me. Then she opened. I do that sometimes, and it's too late. He's gone. But he's still around. Train me to open to you, Lord. It's him. Overcoming, morning revival, prayer reading, preaching the gospel. Everything's him. There's no topics. She prayed this. My beloved put his hand into the opening of the door. My inner parts has yearned for him. We wake up in the morning, saints. At least we start from the morning. Our inward parts just yearns for him. And nothing can satisfy that inner yearning but this lovely Jesus. You know, one time Bradley shared, he said, what is the significance of prayer? It's in the book now, but when I first heard it, it took away veils. Significance of prayer contact and absorb the Lord. Kiss him and absorb him. Did you absorb him this morning? Contact him. I tell my wife, you know, I have a terrible disposition. I wake up for myself, with myself, with a goal for myself. So I told my wife, I says, every morning, please just let me alone and shut the study room. I need some absorption. Leave me alone in the morning. I can't make it. I can't. And now, you know, you hear it, to be an overcomer. How many feel you can be an overcomer? I need him. And some may wonder, well, what about corporate time? Yeah, we have corporate. Anyone has the morning revival from last training, Song of Song? Anyone has that? Can I borrow it? I want to read you a sentence. Now, where is it, Lord? I think it's week one. Oh yeah, this Song of Song. Okay. The entire Bible is a romance. What do you say? Yeah. A love story. It's a love story. Of God falling in love with man. He fell in love with you. You know, when you fall in love, you have no other thoughts. You know, one time I had a brother in our brother's house, and, you know, nothing touches him. He's just strong. Then he fell in love with his sister. He never knew he had an emotion. So we were taking this sister home, and here comes a car. I thought it was a policeman. And there was this brother. He stopped my car. He says, I need to talk to this sister. I says, oh, yes, go ahead. God fell in love with us. That's it. And you know how when she went to school, she was carrying big books, and we never noticed that. All of a sudden she said, oh, those books are too heavy. She comes late, 5 minutes in the meeting. I wonder what happened. Maybe she got sick, or maybe she got kidnapped. Before that, I'm getting ready for my testimony here. You know why we're afraid to fall in love with the Lord? It will make us do things. You're so calm, cool, and collected. When you fall in love, all the calm, cool and collected is gone. You think you can give up your future? The more you try to give up, the more you hang on. The more you try to hate yourself, the more you love yourself. You gotta see this one. So what did he do? He bring us into the inner chamber. Okay, let me finish this. God falling in love with man, and the Song of Song portrays the love of Christ in his union with his individual believers. Okay? The entire New Testament stresses what? Body life. It doesn't mean we're not stressing body life. We're going to speak of body life until the Lord comes back. Not the individual life. But the Song of Song stresses not the body corporately, but the believer individually. So you say, well, I feel like... Now this next statement should help you. It helped me. To have the body life, we must have the individual contact with the Lord. We must have. Without the individual fellowship with the Lord as a base, the proper body life cannot be realized. And that's what we're talking. We have no problem with this. In one time, you know how Dick Taylor and I are two extremes. When we get on something, that's all it's in the universe. When it's morning revival, that's it. Boy, that's the whole Bible. So we saw corporate morning revival, 1978. Oh, we stirred up the whole church. Oh, boy. We stirred them up. 7 days a week, corporate morning watch. Poor sisters. If you don't come corporate morning watch, you're not an overcomer. Oh, yeah, yeah. One time I stressed it so much, so strong, the Lord made me sick. He said, okay, now you be corporate. I'm on my bed. He forced me to have individual. Then Bradley shared. He said, corporate morning revival is good, but individual is crucial. Not that I'm successful, but I've seen that because I went to the extreme. So the Lord, through our individual time with him, after she says, draw me, we will run after you, it says, the king brought me into his chambers. It's not our chambers only. It's his chambers. All of this happens in our spirit. And of course, you all know the verse, 2 Timothy 4:22. What does it say? How many, when you get in up in the morning, all kinds of thoughts are there? Huh? How many this morning, when you got down, you stopped everything and you alone with the Lord? Or was it this thought? That thought? How many traveled to the moon? How many are from the East Coast? How many travel to the East Coast? How many times? Your future can you stop that? Praise the Lord. The Lord gave us His word. But you need to come with a loving heart. And the king brought me into his chambers. His chambers. It's not only my spirit, it's his chambers. A special place for you and the king. A place. There's no University of Berkeley. No South. Not even spiritual burdens. Don't bring your spiritual burdens there. I come to thee, dear Lord. So the first mention of our spirit is in Matthew 5. What does it say? Blessed are those who are what? Don't come loaded up, Lord. Let me tell you how to administrate this universe, Lord. You know this one needs that. You know this one needs that. We come there. We become the dictator. Not just I come to thee. What I need is thee. It's not even to serve him. Just him. If you not tell me to do anything, Lord, I'm just happy to be with you. Are you just happy to linger with the Lord?
Amen.
Just let me stay here, Lord. Let me just linger with you. Let me linger here, Lord. What made you, Lord, to die for me? You ever asked that? You know my case. You know my problems. You made a mistake. You chose me. He says, I like that. This intimate time. Secret. Nobody knows. You know, when I was a kid, sometimes I get bothered. How many get bothered sometimes? You want to escape? Your spirit is a place where you can hide and escape with the Lord. You know, I love the world. I still do. My old man, my flesh loves the world. If you put me by a television and there's sports, boxing. I'm a brother. What am I doing? How can you get out of that? You? I'm the aggregate of the world. 6,000 years of work of the enemy. Remember the verse, looking away unto who?
Yeah.
Looking away unto your strong self. You're going to pull yourself out, right? What is resurrection? Yes. You know what Watchman Nee says? In layman term for us, resurrection is something you can't do. If you can do it, it's not resurrection. Can you die and come back from the grave? That's resurrection. If you can get out of the world by yourself, I guarantee you, it'll come back again. It has to be him. So in Hebrews, looking away unto what? The author. He began this, right? You never thought this kiss will bring you into so many things. Just imagine he kissed us horses. Oh, that's a lot of love for him to kiss horses. Well, his side, our side, marvelous. Here we are, horses. But that's okay. Keep kissing him. The horse's eyes will change. Let me read to you. Looking away unto Jesus. This helped me. Every time I struggle, trying to escape from something. The wonderful Jesus. You better say amen on the wonderful Jesus.
Amen.
Who is enthroned in the heaven.
Amen.
Crowned with glory and honor.
Amen.
Is the greatest attraction.
Amen.
Greatest.
Amen.
Attraction in the universe.
Amen.
After I got saved, my friend said, what happened to you? I didn't understand what to say, but I said, I didn't do nothing. What happened is God kissed me.
Amen.
How can we be the same after God kisses us? Like an immense magnet. Lord, turn the magnet on.
Amen.
The world's drawing me, Lord. Magnetize me again.
Amen.
He turns the magnet off. We're right back. But there's a magnet. Our job is to be magnetized every morning. Oh, magnetize me, dear Lord. I want to absorb you. I like my molecules to line up again. He's like an immense magnet drawing all his seekers to him. It is by being attracted by his charming beauty that we look away from all things. From all things. Other than him. Only his charming beauty. Without such a charming object, how could we look away from so many distracting things on the earth? I can't. I told the Lord, I said, you got to be more enjoyable than the world. I can't make it. I just can't. You have to be. So every morning, I come to thee, dear Lord. It's good to sing. I come to thee, dear Lord, my heart does thirst for thee. Of thee I eat,
of thee I drink, enjoy verily.
As he's singing, he says, my heart, Lord. Something will touch you from the word.
Amen.
My heart, Lord, my heart has been cold. Forgive me, Lord. That's why I'm miserable. You know, our heart, we have a new heart. When you got saved, he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Our heart is like a compass. It just points north to God. You go to your classes, you walk around the campuses, this and that, it shakes the whole thing. You're like, I don't know where the Lord is. You just calm down. Set it down. Get on your knees. I come to thee, dear Lord. Then that compass goes right back. Whoa! I'm on north again. It's too late. You have a new heart.
Amen.
And this new heart only points to God. So you do something else, there's something pointing the other way. That's my experience. So I, every morning, want to come back. You must contact him. Every morning. We're just going to start for morning, but you're going to have the full day. Minoru shared something last night, and Gerald, I really felt the Lord gave us a direction. It's a taste. You taste. It's a fragrance. You know, when something smells sweet, what happens to you? Smell comes from every direction, right? You get with the Lord, you get perfume with him. You go to your class, the perfume starts going out. That's the gospel. Don't worry, you love him, that's the gospel. They wonder why you're so. You know, when a person is in love, you know, there's thousands of people you look around. When somebody's in love, you go, whew. That's why when a sister gets married, oh, everybody wants to go, right? Because there's a fragrance. You're with the merchant. He's putting powder on you in the morning. In the inner chamber, in our spirit, that's the cleft of the rock too. What did the Lord say there? My love is like a dove in the cleft of the rock, in the covert of his precipice. At that point, the Lord says, let me hear your voice, David. Let me see your countenance. It's not, I've been bearing the cross all day long. Sounds like a Buddhist. Why don't you bear the cross too? I've been. Don't you know about the cross, brother? The cross is finding him. There, he says, Nathan, he says, let's fellowship in this secret place. Nobody's there, just you and I. Speak to me. I want to hear your voice. I want to see you, your countenance. Fellowship. So we get out to that place by being attracted. And I believe what Minor shared about using the hymns, I use a lot, to bring your whole being into focus. These songs are not doctrines. These are experiences that would bring us in. So even singing it, right? I'm going to enjoy singing to the Lord. So sing along with him. Oh, Lord, I would linger here. Somebody would call you for breakfast. No, I please send them away, Lord. You're my breakfast this morning.
Amen.
Oh, you're my sweet apples. Lord, I would linger here, still seeking after thee. Continue in the word on prayer till thou dost flow to. This is three. Oh Lord, your face. And never depart. Brothers, too. Just to behold thy face, for this my heart doth cry. I deeply long to drink of thee, my heart to satisfy. In Romans 8:16 it says, we cry, Abba Father, is the Spirit witnessing with our spirit. Galatians says, he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Or we just don't release our spirit and just a heart. That's not right. It's both. So it's from our spirit with our heart. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. With feelings. Oh, you're my Father. When we call on the Lord, when we sing, it's from our spirit through our heart. A spirit and a heart. I like to sing these songs. Paul, where was the beginning, what you read to us today? Could you read that sentence to us? Amen.
We would like to emphasize the statute, since it can be a source of much blessing to the individual and satisfaction to the Lord.
Amen.
And because it is an exercise that is sorely missed and neglected, we would earnestly encourage all those who possess a copy of this book to use it together with their Bible in times of fellowship with the Lord. When we have fed upon the Lord in the Spirit, it is well to express our experience of Him, for our praise to Him, the words of a simple hymn, singing it not so much musically, but spiritually.
Wonderful, huh? So we want to introduce the hymns to you. All of us like to sing to Him, and we bring our being. I do that when I am bothered by so many things. Amen. I just get the word, get the hymnal, sing the word, brings the whole being into focus. Amen. One morning I was touched by my inward parts. I says, Lord, my inward parts. A tune came. My inward parts has yearned for Him. To my beloved I now open. My beloved's gone. Where are you, Lord? He has withdrawn. I open, but He was gone. But Lord, I am sick with love. You don't come. I'm sick. I'm sick with love for You. That's it. I'm sick. You tell me do this, I'm sick. I can't do this. I can't do that. You're my only cure. You're even my medicine this morning. You're the one. I'm blaming you. You made me fall in love. No. I'm sick. You better touch me. Yes, I'm unfaithful in this, but I'm still sick. And somehow, He comes. Open. The whole universe may be bothering you. Hide in your spirit with Him. And it gives you a taste. This taste stays with you. Then I go to breakfast, and my wife cooks something I don't enjoy for my health. But because I kiss the Son, there's a taste. The other words won't come out. The lover says, your tongue is like honey. I want to say something to her. Something else comes out. And the Lord says about her, your lips is like a scarlet thread. You've been confessing, appreciating His blood. I'm nothing, Lord. Thank You for this breakfast. You are my breakfast. You keep the taste. Then the breakfast tastes so good that breakfast becomes Christ. Ah, hallelujah. The taste. Then you go on the campus. You hear things? It's not by duty. That taste. If you follow that hearing, that's not right, the taste leaves you. You pass the newspaper. The taste says, keep going. You stay in the inner chamber. He's called the sealing and the pledging spirit. It's a taste, a fragrance. Anyway, I better stop here. I don't know how to end this. Praise the Lord, we have a whole weekend. Anyway, at the end it says, who is she? Who is this? Who comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. I lean on too many things these days before. But more and more, as we come to him, we lean on him more and more.
Amen.
Pretty soon, Nathan, you be the Lord. I'm the lover. As we go on with the Lord, first it's like this. Then, lead. Wherever he goes, I go. His feelings become my feelings.
Amen.
His taste becomes my taste.
Amen.
His thoughts becomes my thought.
Amen.
Leaning. And then it says, make haste, my beloved, to come. So one in an intimate fellowship. Starting with a kiss, getting into the inner chambers. Anyway, it's so good to see all you young people. So somebody asks you, what are you doing here? Just tell them you're sick with love.
Amen.
I have to go to Anaheim to get some divine x-ray. Fuse himself into me.
Amen.
Then we become the Shulamite.
Amen.
Become him.
Amen.
How many are you glad you're becoming him?
Amen.
One day we wake up, I'm him. Wow. But it happens day by day by this intimate, private fellowship.
Amen.
Then you become that white stone in Revelation, an overcomer. The white stone, a name written on it, no one knows. Only you and the Lord. We need this private, intimate, sweet, satisfying fellowship with him for the building up of his body.
Amen.
Okay?
Well, I just have a couple of feelings to share with you all this morning. I am concerned, you know, that many of you never had that exercise or that practice of having a personal time with the Lord, you yourself, individually, because you are so exercised in the corporate practices of the church life, which are very good. So I'm concerned, you know, that when you know, now we're sharing about, you know, we need this personal time with the Lord, so what do you do? I'm concerned that you really just all of a sudden you're by yourself. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And no more. And you say it again, Lord Jesus, I love you. And you just don't know what to do. And then the mind wanders. And all of a sudden you think of, you know, the test that the midterm you're having. Even though it's, you know, another week, all of a sudden you get so concerned. Just like Brother Lee Share, you know, when if he doesn't pray, you know, no one rings the doorbell. And when he prays, boy, the doorbell rings. He says, that's the devil. Well, sometimes, you know, if you don't pray, you don't think of your schoolwork. All of a sudden, when you pray, wow, you know. You get really concerned. Right? So, I'm just burdened this morning, you know, to say something very, very practical to you all. When you come together to be with the Lord personally, and we stress, you know, this whole weekend, we need this time personally and individually with the Lord, I'm going to share with you two secrets this morning. First of all, the first secret is open your mouth.
Right. Amen.
Even though it is a personal time with the Lord, nevertheless, it be best that it be verbal. It would be much better that you have this personal time with the Lord verbally and audibly rather than silently. I feel opening our mouth is a wonderful thing. There is something, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe there's some scriptural basis, like in Romans 10, but not, these are maybe not very strong scriptural basis, but experientially, I can certainly testify to you, opening the mouth is a big, big secret. Sometimes you are all bound up in yourself, you know? Your thoughts may just be just wound up. Well, you don't need any great, big, mighty secret to deliver you. Just the secret of opening your mouth.
Amen.
Don't look for any, you know, great, big, you know, bolt of lightning sort of deliverance. No, the secret is just open your mouth. This is powerful stuff. I tell you, just this little thing of opening your mouth is powerful. So even though you're having a personal time with the Lord individually, I would strongly advise you, try to do it audibly. Open your mouth. If it is not possible to do it in your room, maybe there are other people there. Maybe you have an unbeliever as a roommate in the dormitory. Well, go outside. Go outside, take a walk where you're by yourself and pray audibly.
Amen.
Pray audibly.
Amen.
It doesn't need to be loud, but your mouth does need to be open.
Amen.
I know how difficult it is to pray silently. I mean the mind just it takes over. Absolutely, you are run by this mind, you know, which this unfortunately is a untransformed mind, right? Not a very renewed mind. So the mind just takes over, and all these thoughts just you know, run you over. You can't help it. You wish you could have that personal, intimate, affectionate time with the Lord, and you even make the time, and you even are doing it. And yet, you know, the thoughts will come and just ruin that. At the end you say, oh, I try. And it didn't work. Lord, you know, I even gave you a time. And yet, you know, you didn't meet me. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the mind is a wild horse. This is the horse pulling, you know, Pharaoh's chariot. Have you ever seen a horse, how strong it is? When you get close to a horse, it is awesome. You know, this thing is just full of muscles. You ever get close to a horse, this thing is awesome. Well, that's the mind, the untransformed mind. It is awesome. It just takes you over. Now, here is the way to counter the mind. It is to open your mouth.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Jesus,
call on the Lord audibly.
Amen.
Say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Say it loudly.
Amen.
Say it out loud.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, that one little secret will do wonders for you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I need you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I'm seeking you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, meet me now.
Amen.
I see, if you don't say it out loud, you know, the prayers will not come.
Right.
You know? But if you say it out loud, I tell you, after one sentence, the next one will come.
Right.
And the next one will come.
Right.
And the next one will come.
Right.
I'm talking about totally experiential.
Right.
You know? Totally speaking of experience. When you pray out loud, you know, the Lord just comes, you know, just wave after wave. Every sentence is one wave. You know? Grace upon grace. Grace as a river shall flow. So do your best, you know, to have your time with the Lord verbally and audibly. Go find a place. I used to take a walk, you know. I went to UCLA and lived in the dorms there. And I don't know whether it's still there. There used to be this trail that's for jogging. And it's really quite quiet, you know, back there, you know, behind. I lived in Reba Hall, back there. It was quite quiet. And I used to just walk out there because, you know, I had unbelievers and roommate, and at least some of the time. And I used to go out there and just pray. You know, just pray. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, you know, having this secret thing with the Lord. Even if your roommate is a brother, you know, you may not want to pray audibly in his presence. Right? There is something secret going on, something private, something confidential between you and the Lord. You may not want this, you know, to be heard by a third party. That's fine. That's perfectly normal. Don't feel condemned that all of a sudden, you know, that you're being individualistic. No, it's okay. There are some things between us and the Lord that no third person should be involved. So you go outside. You leave the brother's house. Those of you live in the brother's house at UCLA, go walk up and down Veterans Avenue. That's a quiet street. And there's a big cemetery there. Very quiet. Go walk, just go take a walk and pray audibly. Amen. Open your mouth. Open your mouth to pray. And you will be surprised. Once your mouth is open, the words will come. Amen. And the thoughts will come. Amen. You know, and the Lord will draw you. And your spirit, you know, will you feel it. It's so real. Once your mouth is open, your spirit is activated. You know, that connection, you know, is put into gear. And the Lord will become so real and so affectionate with you. So this is my first secret to you all, is that you pray, even in your personal, individual time with the Lord, do so, or try to do so, audibly. Open your mouth as much as possible. Amen. If it's not possible, of course, sometimes, you know, we have to have a quiet, silent time with the Lord. But as much as possible, try to pray out loud and open your mouth. Second secret I will share with you, brothers and sisters, is sometimes you need to kneel down to pray. I know we don't have this custom or practice very much amongst us. And it is, you know, something that probably should only be practiced mostly in private. Well, although, you know, in the old days, you know, in some of the churches, even the prayer meeting, they all knelt down to pray. Last year, you know, I lived in Taipei, and this meeting hall that I went to, it's wonderful, actually, come to think of it. They had corporate morning watch, which started by a personal time. Everyone would come and just kneel down. Come to the meeting hall, and everyone would just kneel down. They have these sort of, you know these rubber things like jigsaw puzzle things. Everyone would just take one of these and kneel down and have a personal time with the Lord for about half an hour. And then, you know, someone would just start praying out loud, and then we all would, you know, join in and pray together. But the whole time, for the whole hour, kneeling down. I would, you know, strongly give you this suggestion. I'm not preaching this like the Baptists, you know, preach baptism by immersion. No, you don't have to do this to be saved. at least not to be saved from eternal perdition. But sometimes it does help to save you from yourself.
Amen.
When you kneel down, you know, something happens when you bend your knees. You know, it just like something, you open your mouth, something happens. You know, unfortunately, you know, we're still in this physical world. And that is why, you know, certain things are kind of like a bridge that bridges you from this physical world to the spiritual world. Opening your mouth is one of them. It may be physical, but it bridges you into that spiritual world. And I would say, in like manner, kneeling down is one of those practices. Somehow, I can only testify from my experience to you, when I kneel down, there is a kind of submission to the Lord. You know, my whole being is just brought into a state of submission. When I kneel down, you know, somehow all that rebellion is dissipated. You know, I do believe for us brothers, you know, this is somewhat, you know, similar to the sisters putting on their head covering. When the sisters put on their head covering, it is something physical on their head, and yet spiritually, something happens. Something is realized. Here, the headship of Christ is recognized, practiced, testified. You may not know it, it may make no difference to you, but it surely makes a difference to Satan. It surely makes a difference to all Satan and his hosts that here is a person who practices submission to Christ, who holds Christ as the head. It may be something physical, right? And yet spiritually, something just happens. Because you do it with your spirit. Last night after the meeting, going home, I thought of this story in the gospel, you know, of in Luke. Of all these people thronging the Lord, and this woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of the Lord's garment, and the Lord felt, you know, some power had gone out from him. And he said, "Who touched me?" And all the people said, "What are you talking about? You're crazy. There's throngs of people here." And you say, "Who touched you?" Right? But he said, "No, some power has gone out." And this woman, she was trembling. She was afraid. She felt she was found out. She felt maybe she had done something wrong and she got found out. And she came forward and confessed and said, you know, she had this problem, this issue of blood, this sickness. And she felt if you could just go so far as just to touch the hem of the Lord's garment, she would be healed. And the Lord said, "Go in peace. You know, you're healed." You know, that I thought of that, you know, yes, in the church life, you know, a lot of saints here. You know, but what transpires in your spirit, I tell you, only you, only the Lord knows. When the kingdom age comes, I suspect, brothers and sisters, we will have many surprises. Wow, I didn't know that one is an overcomer. And rather, that giant, that brother, spiritual giant that I thought, God, he's not here. I believe we'll have many surprises because many saints will have had this private touch of the Lord. This secret, almost secret touch with the Lord. But when you do that, surely the Lord recognizes it. To the world, to the outside, even to the rest of the saints, it may seem like nothing has happened. But when you do that to touch the Lord recognizes it. And I feel, brothers and sisters, kneeling down to pray, when you bend your knees, the Lord recognizes that. So the best combination, I would say, is to kneel down and pray audibly.
Amen.
That's the best combination that I can recommend to you. Sometimes it's not practical or feasible to do that, but to the best, you know, possible, as the circumstances would dictate, try to practice this. Try to practice this. Try to kneel down sometimes to pray. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever knelt down to pray? Raise your hand. Good. Oh, there are many of you. That's very good. Continue that practice. Continue and make that a regular practice. Regularly kneel down to pray. Not only when you're in deep trouble. I know, you know, sometimes when we're in deep trouble, you know, we're in a jam that we can't get out of. We're so desperate. And that's happened to me, and that's fine. And you kneel down and say, Lord, please help me get out of this one. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. Because no matter what, you know, the key is to get you to pray. Once you pray, you touch the Lord, it doesn't matter. Once you touch the Lord, you know, the Spirit flows. If it takes, you know, those jams to get you to do that, praise the Lord. But make kneeling down to pray a regular something that you do. Regularly, as much as possible. If it's not convenient in the morning, maybe another time. Maybe when you come back from your classes. You may have classes interspersed during the day. And maybe, you know, there are blocks of time between your classes that you come back and there's nobody there in the brother's house but you. You take advantage of that time. You kneel down and you pray audibly. If you do that, you know, you will find, oh, the Lord will just become so rich to you. And one more thing I would say is when you pray, when you have this personal time with the Lord, use the word and use the hymns. Huh? As the brother Howard has shared, use the word and use the hymns. There is nothing so rich as the word of God.
Amen.
I say when the word comes to you in a living way, the word embodies the triune God.
Amen.
To be conveyed to you. The word, you know, mixed with your spirit, conveys the triune God to you. So use the word as you pray with the word. We don't need original words of our own all the time. Sometimes the word of God, you know, oh, look away unto Jesus. Just that one, look away unto Jesus. Just four words. You can pray, you know, 15 minutes just with that, Lord, I want to look away to you. And then maybe there's some prayer coming out. Lord, turn me.
Amen.
I don't want to look at so many other things. I want to look away to you.
Amen.
I don't want to look at myself, Lord.
Amen.
Save me from myself.
Amen.
Oh, turn my eyes.
Amen.
Turn me to look at you.
Amen.
Oh, as Stephen saw you.
Amen.
Lord, I want to have some experiences like that.
Amen.
Of seeing Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, your prayers would just come. It doesn't take much. You know, you don't have to have, you know, some great big verse every time. But something from the Word of God.
Amen.
Something from the Word of God.
Right.
And for this, you know, you need the Word of God richly stored in you.
Amen.
So that when you pray, oh, the Word would just come. You need the Word of God richly stored in you.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, that we have these thoughts, you know, or feelings, we don't know how to express it. Only the Word of God can express it. But if you didn't have the Word of God in you, you're at a loss. So store the Word of God in you.
Amen.
And pray with the Word of God.
Amen.
And then the hymns. What are the hymns? I tell you, the hymns are a distillation of the experiences of Christ. that the godly saints that have gone before us have experienced and have written down as hymns. Hymns, you know, as we find this time, you know, in the Song of Songs, poetry, you know, is marvelous. In the same way, you know, hymns, you know, these are crystallizations or distillations of the saints, the godly saints' experience of the Lord. You know, if you read Watchman Nee's, for example, his testimony, you know, many times when he had some definite experience of God, he write a hymn. Some hymns resulted from that. Right? Someone just reminded me yesterday, when the Lord touched him to give up, you know, this sister that, you know, he was very, I don't know what's the word, interested in or what. You know, he felt, you know, the Lord touched him to give that. He wrote a hymn. There was a hymn written from that. I think when you, your feeling is so overwhelmed by the Lord that it overflows, oftentimes it results in a hymn. So the words from the hymns are almost like crystallization. It is very rich, very rich. I do this morning, I enjoy a hymn this morning. And it is 350 in the hymn book. My goal is God himself, not joy nor peace, not even blessing, but himself my God. Amen. 'Tis his to lead me there, not mine but his, at any cost, dear Lord, by any road. And I really enjoy verse 4. One thing I know, I cannot say him nay. One thing I do, I press toward my Lord. My God, my glory here, from day to day. And in the glory there, my great reward. I just pray, Lord, I want you to be my glory today. You be my glory today. I'm pressing toward you. My goal is God himself. Right? You see, hymns are so rich. The hymns are so rich. So you need, again, the hymns richly store in you. So when you pray, all these things will just be fetched up. So those are my practical advice to you all, brothers and sisters. Amen.